You know what time it is, episode 413 here on the Flip Empire Show.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Alex is ready to answer your questions and provide you with the tools you need to succeed in real estate, all through case studies, current real-life transactions, and proven marketing strategies. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What's going on? Alex Pardo here, back. And guys, I'm going to double it up. I'm going to go back to back here. So last week's episode with Mark Evans DM was episode 413. Usually I take the odd numbered shows and I do a solo round where I do a little bit of a tighter, shorter, more deep dive type show. Well, I'm calling an audible again, and I got my good friend, Mr. Leon Barnes, somebody who is just an amazing human being and just has a world of wisdom, knowledge, insight, expertise. As you're about to hear, he comes to us from the corporate world, where he worked 10 plus years and ran a team and managed a team of 25 people. From there, he realized that's not what he wanted to do. So he went out and spearheaded essentially a real estate investment company and ran a team of 15 people. So he comes to us with so much knowledge as far as leadership, building a winning culture, team building, how to be a more impactful, effective leader, especially during everything that's going on now. So this might not sound like a sexy topic, but I can promise you, to the extent that you're a great leader, you're going to be in a much better position to not just survive what's going on, but thrive, right? Leadership, that's one of those skills you constantly want to be honing and just perfecting your craft as a leader, as a communicator. And there's so much practical advice that he shares on this podcast. So without further ado, let's transition. What's going on, my friends? So I'm back here with kind of a pop-up podcast / Facebook Live with somebody who is just like, this guy is like, got a heart of gold. I mean, somebody who I was telling him right now, any excuse to connect with Mr. Leon Barnes is a great excuse. So Leon, what is going on, my friend? How are you?
Right back at you. I'm great, Alex. And anytime I'm around Mr. Pardo, that means I have a smile on my face, because I don't know anyone that smiles more than you, my friend.
Well, I'll take that as a compliment. I appreciate it. It's genuine. So guys, if you're joining us now, do me a favor, comment, give me your name, where you're from. Thank you for joining us last minute. Again, Leon and I weren't 100% sure what we were going to be sharing, so I didn't get a chance to share this. And I think that's going to make it even better. It's going to be more organic. And Leon, somebody who has so much knowledge, expertise, and experience. And we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But one of the things I've always looked to Leon for is culture and team building and coaching and leadership. These are things that, Leon, I don't know if you would consider this or not, but to me, that's your unique ability. To me, that's what it appears from the outside looking in, that that's just so natural for you. You're such an effective communicator, and I've seen you run rooms, and you know, obviously we're part of CG, the mastermind, and I've seen how you kind of galvanize a room and how you and just how you lead people, and you're such a natural connector. And I believe that's such a valuable skill to have as an entrepreneur. And so that's just kind of a little bit of a quick tease about what we're going to talk about. As always, if you guys have been joining me on these Facebook Lives, I'd like to make this interactive. Hopefully we can educate and entertain at the same time. So if you have questions, please fire away in the chat box, and we're happy to answer any questions. And if you can share this with your friends, if you're getting value, that would be greatly, greatly appreciated. So Leon, brother, why don't we take 2 or 3 minutes, kind of a quick background. You know, where you're from, how you even got involved in this space. And I know you have a corporate background. So let's just kind of give people some context where you're coming from here.
So, Alex, you might not know this. We may not have had this conversation, but, you know, when I was in grade school, I was going to the NBA. I mean, I told everybody I was going to play in the NBA. That was my goal. And like a lot of us kids that thought we were going to play professional sports, once I got to college, I realized there was a lot better athletes, bigger, stronger, faster, all those type of things than I was. And I quickly realized that I was going to have to find something else. And so communications was actually my major. I was a broadcast journalism major. spent 5.5 years doing that, working in minor league sports, and realized that I loved it. It was a great hobby, but from a professional career, it was going to take me 30 years to become the next Bob Costas or the next Van Pelt or someone along those lines. And so,
but if anybody could have done it, I put my money on you, my man.
You know what? I look back at it. I have no regrets, but I still love it. And up until 2 years ago, I still did indoor football, arena football, play by play. And so it's something that sports has always been my passion. And I think that's where what you were talking about earlier of culture and how I got involved in being a manager and a coach for most of my professional career, it just comes from my sports background. And I think you can learn a lot from sports. And I always say to everyone, there's nothing you can say to me that I haven't heard from one of my mentors or one of my coaches.
I believe it.
You know? And so I got into sales in corporate America, selling, believe it or not, phone books.
Selling phone books.
Selling phone book advertising.
Wow.
Specifically the advertising within a phone book. And as we know, a lot of things have changed. A lot of the viewers of this may not even know, they've never seen a phone book before.
Well, they're about that thick. So,
well, not anymore. They're about this thick if they still produced.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a great way to get sales experience and learn a lot about different industries. And one of the industries that after 11 years, actually about 5 years in, that I started gravitating to were the people that I was selling advertising within the real estate space. And specifically on the investing side, and just became more and more engaged in it. And after 11 years, left as a regional manager in the state of Hawaii. Somehow got from Kansas to Hawaii, ran a team of 25 salespeople and had a lot of success doing that, but was looking for a change. And that's how I got into real estate, running a team that flipped houses. We flipped 300 in 5 years. Loved every bit of it. We had a team, I think, as many as 15 at any given time. And it was just as soon as I got in, I knew it was something I would do for the rest of my life.
Okay. What would you say was the biggest learning lesson, or what did you really take away from running a team of 25 people prior to real estate and then building a team of 15, you know, doing several hundred houses over that 5 year period? What would you say is the biggest takeaway or learning lesson for you?
That's a great question. There's so many takeaways. I think from a managerial standpoint, and for a lot of real estate investors, the word that I hear the most within, you know, my current duties within the Collective Genius that a lot of real estate investors struggle with is hiring and scaling. Scaling is the biggest word that I see. And it's not the easiest thing in the world, or I wouldn't see it, you know, as much as I do as an issue or a challenge. For me, the biggest life lesson of managing different people is that just like on a sports team, you can't treat everyone the exact same way.
That's right.
And frankly, you have to communicate and be genuine about that communication. Unfortunately, all of us get so busy in running a business or running our day-to-day lives that we forget to just sit down and have a conversation about what motivates someone else. Because what motivates me may not motivate you, Alex. And so no different than coaching kids in high school basketball or an employee, you have to find out what makes them tick. And I think the biggest thing that I've always taken away from my experiences of managing people and building cultures is find out what their purpose is in life. And ultimately, you will be able to lead that person.
So good. Is there any specific way that you go about doing that? Is it just because it seems like knowing you, you're probably very intentional and purposeful about how you go about doing it. And you just you're just a natural connector and amazing communicator. So for people listening to this that have a team and maybe are struggling right now, there's obviously we're in the midst of this pandemic. There's a lot of uncertainty. We don't know when we're going to get out of this. You and I are very well connected, you know, throughout the country with top level real estate investors, and we hear the gamut, right? People that are still doing well and others that are struggling. And many of these people that are struggling have a team and they feel naturally, they feel very responsible for them. How do you go about leading and managing and finding out if somebody's watching this and they haven't taken the time to find out what their particular team member's purpose is, what motivates them, what drives them? Is there a specific conversation you have with these people? How do you just broach the subject and go about that?
I think it's natural curiosity is number one, is what you have to have about genuinely about people. And if that's not you, you have to find someone that is. So a lot of people that run businesses don't naturally, you know, want to care about learning more about their employee. So if that's not your natural skill set, find someone that can manage that team that is really good at that. But honestly, for me, it started early on for me, where my curiosity of human beings came from was I had moved, I don't know, until my third grade year. My grandfather worked on a railroad and my mother was a single mother raising four boys. And so we moved around a lot. We followed the railroad. Whatever my grandfather was going is where we went. And so I had to go into new schools and meet new people. And if I wasn't curious about meeting new people, I had no friends. And so I'm always curious about someone else's story and how they've gotten to where they are today. And so there's that natural, that for me, that's natural. That's not natural for everyone. My best advice on that is, if that's not you, then find someone that it is to manage and lead your team, because that's where you build your best culture.
Yeah.
It's also a process, Alex. This doesn't happen overnight. There's no secret pill that you can take. There's no Morpheus there with one or the other pill, right? You have to actually spend time. This is where corporate taught me the most.
What's that?
On leadership of people, you have to know, you know, and they have to know how much you care. And so we had weekly meetings. Every single week, I would sit down with one of my salespeople, and they were all different levels. Some were higher executives and some were entry level. But it wasn't just a checkup about their numbers. It was about where they were and a constant check-in. But what you would get from those conversations is each week you'd get a new nugget of, you just start to understand the psyche of an individual and what motivates them. Mm-hmm. And so it's a process. You have to be genuinely curious and know that it's not something that you're going to learn overnight. It's not one conversation, it's multiple.
Yeah. That's so good. That's so good. What do you suggest people do during, you know, I kind of touched on the fact that obviously we're dealing with COVID and there's so much uncertainty. What are your thoughts on, you know, people that have, maybe somebody's listening to this or watching this and they have a team of 7, 8, 9, 10 people and they don't know when the next deal's coming, or, you know, they're kind of going through this income roller coaster, this deal roller coaster that so many investors go through. How do you suggest they go about dealing with the uncertainty and managing this team when they probably have questions bouncing around in their head, like, do I need to downsize? Do I need to get rid of you know, certain team members? Whether it's because they're just not performing or because honestly, I don't know if I can pay them and I don't know if I can continue to maintain this payroll. What are your thoughts as far as that's concerned? Because I know that's a legitimate, you know, challenge for people.
Honesty. Honesty is the best way to deal with that with people. People understand that. They know that if the deals are not coming through, the bell's not ringing, they understand that their job may be in jeopardy. And so first and foremost, you have to be honest with them and tell them what the expectations are. And you have to be a bright, shining light during these times.
Yeah.
You know, you're the person that is leading this team. And if your message is one of I'm firing everyone if we don't do deals, then you're not going to do any deals. You may do some, but you're not going to have come on the other side of this with a better team. And so I think you just have to be straight and honest that this is what we're going to do right now and lead with them. You know, the best generals are on the battlefield with their teams, not in the ivory tower telling their team what they need to do.
That's so good.
At this time, you need to be on the battlefield with your team. They have to know that they have your support. I talked to several investors that are getting back into acquisitions or dispositions, property management, project management, because it is just their team needs to see them leading through this, and it's an all hands on deck approach. I think the best thing I can say, though, the best takeaway of all of that is just be a bright, shining light that we're going to get through this and we're going to be better on the other side. Now, you might still have to get rid of some people, because business is business and you have to make it make sense for you. But I will encourage you that if you're leading through this and you're thinking about cutting people, before you do that, make sure that person isn't someone that is, you know, a rock star. I mean, you can't get rid of rock stars during this time. You got to find a way to keep rock stars.
Yeah.
if they're someone that's borderline, then obviously that makes sense from a managerial standpoint and an entrepreneur standpoint. But man, right now is a time that there's opportunity in coming through on this on the other side, because a lot of those rock stars are being let go by other people. Right. You have the opportunity to snatch up.
Right, right. Man, there's so much to unpack there, but I can tell you from personal experience, and you know this now, we have a relatively small team compared to many others out there. And I can tell you that it came to a point where I had to roll up my sleeves and get back in there. And I saw, it was almost like an immediate shift. And you know some of my team members, it was almost like a shift where there was a fire lit under them, because now they saw me in the trenches with them. And it wasn't me kind of speaking from up here. That's not my personality anyways, but I think you know what I mean. The fact that I was in there with them, it changes things, man. It's not only does it fuel the type of culture, but people just get inspired when they see the leader, the visionary jumping in there, rolling up your sleeve. You got to do.
And it's okay to be vulnerable. You know, I think I told you this before. I coach high school basketball kids, and I'm 43 years old. And, you know, I'm preaching to them what to do on a daily basis. But every once in a while, I have to get in and show them at 43.
Wait a second. Do you still have it? Can you still show it on the court?
No, I still don't have that. But I can at least show them the technique. I can't necessarily run up and down the court with them at that level, right? But I can show them, you know, a trick of the trade, something that they can take and use that on the court the next time they have a game. Same thing goes for your team, because you're vulnerable in saying, hey, I make mistakes too. This is the way we should all do it. Mm-hmm. But look, here's something that I did that we can all learn from, you know, and continue to grow. All too often, us as investors and entrepreneurs, we can't wait to become a CEO. Mm-hmm. And once we become a CEO, we forget how it is to grind with your team and how much fun that is. There's a lot of fun in it if you've built the right culture. There's a lot of fun in that. And it's invigorating to get back in. And this is the time in which you need to get back in and lead. Yeah. And lead your people, because they're all uncertain. And, you know, we're all going to get through this. And the teams that have the best culture and have the best leaders are going to come out of this on the other side much better.
Yeah. Well, I want to transition into culture, because again, you and I kind of speak the same language there. And there's so much that I think people can learn from your insight and perspective because of the experience you have, not just in the corporate world, but as an investor and now the position you're in with CG. But I want to just quickly highlight my belief. This is not fact, but this is just my opinion. When it comes to leadership, I think transparency and vulnerability are the new currency. And I believe that in my life, it's been proven to me that when I'm transparent and when I let people know that, hey, look, I don't have all the answers. I make mistakes and I'm flawed, but I'm going to lead you through this to the best of my ability. People walk alongside you. They back you up. They get behind you. So that's been my experience, and I encourage you guys out there, don't hide what you're fearful of. By the way, I'm getting a little bit of feedback. I don't know if that's on my end or not.
Not do you me. Hear?
No. Okay. What I was sharing is I think when you when you're transparent and vulnerable and you head your fears face forward and you just kind of let people know where you stand, people appreciate it so much more, man. They want to be able to relate to you, whether you're leading a team or whether it's, you know, us on a Facebook Live. We don't pretend to have all the answers or not have challenges. I mean, we both got challenges and we both make mistakes. And it's just about growing and getting better and learning and progressing every day is my belief.
Yeah, it's so well said. You know, there's a lot of things that I grew up in. I grew up a lot working in corporate America. I started out with a small company that was bought out by a company that was in 49 states. And going from a family-owned company to a corporate company, there's so many things that I learned what not to do, but also what to do. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons that I felt like eventually I needed to get out of that environment was you can be vulnerable as a leader. I was a regional sales manager. I ran the whole state of Hawaii, 25 salespeople, 4 islands of business. And you can be vulnerable all you want, but when something is out of your control, it doesn't matter. What I mean by that is, if I'm the entrepreneur and I'm the CEO and I'm running the business, I can control the business. Now, there's outside circumstances that I can't always control, but I can control the narrative of how we're going to handle it. In a corporate setting, corporate handles that. So you can be vulnerable, but ultimately now you're putting yourself versus corporate, and you can't do that, right? So eventually, it was really hard for me after 11 years to continue in that setting, because there were so many things that I didn't agree with that I would have done differently. But I was always upfront with my team. I'm supporting corporate, but I'm also supporting you. And it became a mixed message, frankly, where in a setting where you're an entrepreneur, you can control that. Your vulnerability, the more open you are with your team, the better you are. But at the same time, you have to control, you know, what that is. You have to control the narrative of where you are going, but you can be open. And that's what I found hard after, you know, spending, I thought it was going to be about a 10-year ride, and it was probably a 10-year ride that I rode for another year. But that was the biggest, at the end, that's where I struggled with the most.
Well, brother, you took the word right out of my mouth. Can you elaborate a little bit on controlling the narrative? That's something that, you know, we've discussed, and it's so important. It's so true. I think it would be extremely valuable for people watching this and people that listen to this or watch this in the future. What exactly do you mean by control the narrative?
Now, it can be bad or it can be good, but it's your story and it's your business. So you tell the story. I don't care how bad the news is that you're taking in from whatever source that you're getting your news from, television or the internet. It's your story with your business. There are so many great connections and members of the Collective Genius or other real estate investors, Alex, that we know, that they just, it doesn't matter what's happening outside, the message that they have with their team is, guys, we are all good. Here's what these are our goals. This is what we're going to do. It's all positive on our side. Are there bad things happening? Yes. But this is our story, and we're going to continue to write our story with, you know, this particular subject. We're going to go out and still produce. Right. Now, you might be doing less than you were doing before, but you're still crushing it compared to what others are doing, because so many people are sitting on their hands and waiting versus going out and attacking and making things happen.
Bingo. Now's the time that you got to get on the bull and grab it by the horns and then do the best that you can to take it where you want to go. Is it going to be a little rocky? Are you going to be off course most of the time like a pilot? Are you going to be kind of, you know, dealing with organized chaos? Maybe. But if you got your hands on those horns, you're going to, you know, you're going to kind of steer it in the direction you want to go. And there's a lot outside your control, and just recognize that and accept it for what it is.
This is the time to surround yourself with people like you that are positive, that, you know, no matter what's going on in the world, you're going to see some sunshine or a silver lining in everything. And those are the people that you want to surround yourself with during this time. And they don't have to just be in real estate. They can be in any business. As long as they see that I can make some, there are so many people that are creating businesses out of this. You know, there's people creating mask companies that maybe they're laid off, but they're creating masks and making ends, make ends meet because they're creating masks or something else that's helping their community. Mm-hmm. You know, those are the people that you want to surround yourself with during these times, and be an optimist. I mean, no matter how bad it is, you have to be a forever optimist to your team as well. Mm-hmm. This is when they truly start to dig in and follow. If they weren't following before, and they see your positivity, and they see that you're leading through this, and you're getting your hands dirty, and you're rolling up your sleeves, man, this is the time to win them over and build the right culture.
Yeah. And at the same time, I think to add to that, Leon, it's really interesting from a different perspective to see, if you're in a boat and the boat has water coming in, you better grab a bucket and start throwing water out. Otherwise, that boat's going to capsize. It's interesting to see if your team members are going to jump in that boat and grab a bucket with you, you know, to kind of use an odd analogy. And so, you know, I think it's interesting from that standpoint too, but let's kind of get into culture. Sure. How do we be, as investors, as entrepreneurs, how can we be more proactive about creating the kind of culture, the winning culture that we want? Because if you're watching this and listening to this, whether you realize it or not, there's a culture within your business.
Yes.
You know, now the question is it the culture you want, or is it just a culture that exists because you haven't been intentional about it?
Yep.
So talk to us a little bit about that. Sure. And maybe some practical things that us as investors and entrepreneurs can do to have and to start to build a winning culture.
Yeah. So winning is a habit, unfortunately, so is losing. And you said it point blank, is that, you know, there is a culture within your organization. Whatever that is, you have one. Mm-hmm. The best way to create a great culture is if you have a team that you feel like you can build that with, and you start today. The best time was yesterday, if it's not the culture that you want it to be. What I always did is, you know, you can't, not everyone is going to agree on what they want the organization to be, because there's always going to be one or two that have different opinions.
Sure.
I try to always focus, especially in this industry of real estate investing. There can be a negative connotation that's around real estate investing. And so I built our culture on something that was a way for us to make our organization, for people to understand that we weren't there to just take advantage of situations. We were mm-hmm. there to help our community one house at a time.
Yep.
And so I started the narrative that I wanted everyone to follow, but let them fill in the pages of the story, the chapters of the story. So we started doing things that were bigger than just making money. They yeah. were helping our community. And so every week, this is just an example. Every week we would volunteer at a local nonprofit, a different one each week. And we would pay them for that hour or 2 hours in which you know, we were out. And I let them lead it.
Hmm.
They led it. I told them what we were going to do.
Yeah.
At what I had envisioned based upon their feedback. And I let them lead the way. And so it wasn't just about money. It was about a bigger purpose than a job. They were making a difference in their community while at the same time enjoying and getting to know. Because here's what happened on those weekly hour to 2 hour sessions. People were having conversations that might never talk in the office.
Yeah.
They might have nothing in common, and they figure out they have something in common.
Yeah.
And we particularly built our cultures around giving back to our communities, both also in corporate as well, because it was a big corporation. You wanted to seem more localized. And so those are the things that have always worked for me in building the right culture. If somebody wasn't in on that, I knew I had the wrong person for our right. culture. It doesn't make them a bad person. It just means they're a better fit for someone else's culture.
That's right. And okay, so a lot to unpack there. Number one, you know, I completely agree with you. It has to be more than money. Money is only going to motivate and drive your team and your people so far. Why does your company exist? Like, what's your PCP, right? The purpose, the cause, the passion. And it's got to be more than just growing the top line and the bottom line. That's a big part of it. Obviously, you're in business, but it's got to be more than that. What I also heard between the lines was that you empowered your team, you know, so that when you guys went out there, like you gave them, you empowered them so that they could lead. And it's that saying, which very cliche, but I know you've heard it in sports, you know, you're only as strong as your weakest link. And I think that's true. You know, I think that's true. So it sounds like you were very, I keep using the word intentional, but intentional about leading growing your team.
It was very intentional. They didn't know it, but they were my culture committee. Mm-hmm. They created the culture for the company. And they were empowered to make change within the company. That's something that is so important. And here's the other. Genuinely, I mean this, Alex. Anytime I would bring someone on, this was always a way that I knew I had the right person.
How?
If I felt that they were smarter than me, or in most were that I hired, if I was always looking for someone that could replace me. Not that they would, but could. Are they capable? And they were multi-talented. Okay. They weren't just good at offense. They could play some defense and rebound. Maybe their offensive game was the best part of their game,
mm-hmm.
but they could also do those other things. I wasn't looking for specialists ever.
Got it.
I was looking for people that had And I wanted to know about them. Okay. So did they fit my culture? Because I would ask them, and there's certain questions that you can ask to get that information out. Mm-hmm. But I was inquisitive and I was genuine about having the person that I hire typically, could they replace me or whomever is above them in the company today? And usually that answer would be yes, because it meant that I could continue to delegate to employees. If I couldn't delegate, then they're probably not the right fit for my team.
Yeah, great point. I was on a Facebook Live earlier today with Mark Evans, and we were talking about the difference between delegating and dictating. And you gotta be able to delegate. I mean, I saw your face. There's a huge difference there, obviously. Last question or two as we start to kind of wrap up here. And guys, again, this is my apologies. This is not Leon. I scheduled this like super, super last minute. So if there's any questions, fire away. If not, I'm going to wrap this one up in the last couple questions here. Talk to me about getting buy-in from your team. Like, if you can't get buy-in, at what point do you decide that, hey, this person, they're talented, mm-hmm. they're a good fit for the team. They're a good, let me backtrack. They're a good, they fit in the seat. Are they a good fit for the team? It's questionable because right now there's not buy-in. As a leader, how do you go about the business of getting buy-in from people if they may not agree with a decision you're making? Or because you can't get everybody's you can get buy-in, but you can't get everybody to always agree. I mean, talk to me about that, about how you go about getting buy-in, particularly when, you know, you're making decisions or you're wanting to take the team in a certain direction where maybe not everybody is 100% on board there.
Everything for me always goes back to one-on-one time. It always goes back to one-on-one time. If you have scheduled, and this is not, you know, perfect for everyone in their schedules, but you have to find a way to get in once a week, some individual time. It's no different than your kids. If you have multiple kids, time together with those kids is great, but they also need individual time because they're different. Mm-hmm. And so the best way for me to know whether I was getting buy-in or not was having individual meetings. These don't have to be long. These can be 15 to 30 minutes, and they're going to tell you. You can see it on their face if they disagree with something or they like a particular change that you made. They're going to give you whether someone's a right fit or not. Yeah. If you just give them that time and ask the right questions, it's written all over their face when you have a shut door meeting or a Zoom call like this. Yeah. Now, it doesn't have to be in person. You know, it can be over Zoom. Technology has changed a lot of that. But for me, everything goes back to one-on-one time. As a leader, the best way I would know about what's going on in my team is have an individual come. We always have team meetings, but I made sure that once a week we had individual meetings as well.
So it kind of like a check-in, right?
You know, absolutely. And if your structure is that you have divisional managers that are leading, you know, maybe they're leading sales, maybe they're leading property. You have check-ins. If you're on the top of that org chart, you have check-ins with your managers, but your managers are then having check-ins on a weekly basis with those individuals. So it can happen either way. If you're managing managers, make sure you're having that weekly time. If you're managing individuals, make sure you're having that specific allotted 10 to 30 minutes per week.
Okay. Two last questions for you, and these can be pretty quick here. Where do you land? Because I've heard both sides of the, I've heard mixed opinions on this. As a leader, what are your thoughts on getting to know your team on a personal level? Mm-hmm. Like outside of business and almost to a degree befriending them? Like there's a fine line there, right? But like, what are your thoughts on getting to know your team on a personal level versus or juxtapose that to keep personal out of it and it's all business and you can still relate and be a human and connect, but leave the personal outside? Where do you land on that? Because again, I've heard both sides of it.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you that there's for me, and this doesn't make it right for everyone, but there has to be separation.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean they can't know that I have a family and what inspires me and all of the things. I'm an open book. It's hard for me. It's very hard for me not to share, you know, my personal story with people because that's who I am. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to do things outside of work with them that's not a work setting.
Okay.
For me, as a coach or a manager, there has to be a separation between the two. A lot of that comes from my sports background of working in minor league sports for 5.5 years. The coaches, the general managers, never associated at that level with the players, because you're going to, it's inevitable. A player or you're going to have to cut a player or fire an employee at mm-hmm. at some point. So for me personally, there's got to be a separation there.
Okay. Do you, I guess, let me not even challenge it. I guess I want to ask a quick follow-up. Do you think it's possible to have a hybrid? Like, I'm thinking, you know, you and I love sports, and I'm trying to think of a player's coach right now. No one's coming to mind, but maybe you can think about it. Can you be a player's coach, right? Like, is there a healthy hybrid? Because I'm kind of on the opposite side, where I've always liked to get to know my team members on a personal level. No, don't get me wrong. We're not sharing intimate secrets, and we're not like talking, you know, there's a line in the sand that you draw, obviously. But outside of work, you know, quarterly, we have team functions. I like to get together with them. I don't really go drinking with them or anything like that. I don't take it to that point. But I guess I'm wondering if there's a healthy balance or hybrid.
Again, for me, there's not. Okay. And here's why. As a young manager at 25 years old, I did too much of that probably. And there, for me, when you know too much about a manager, a boss, it can be used against that individual, and there's no separation there.
Fair enough.
That's how I personally have grown up, because I've tried the hybrid, and it just, for me, from my experience, it just hasn't gone well. I'm not saying that others can't make it work. I've always personally tried to keep them separated from both my corporate experience and the sports experience. Between those two, this is where I've eventually gotten to this point. I get where you're coming from. Yeah. There are ways to still get to know your employees at a very high level, and have events together as a team, and still, you know, have some of that. But I try not to get too personal.
Okay. Appreciate you sharing that. Brother, last question for you. Let's rewind the clock about 15 years. What's the one piece of advice that somebody has shared with you that you would look back and say, wow, that probably had the biggest impact on my life? And then the second part of it is, how do people take that and apply it moving forward? Does anything come to mind for you as far as, maybe it's not even a piece of advice, maybe it's just something you experienced and now you look back and you're like, well, damn, I wish I knew that, you know?
Yeah, there's so many. I'm blessed that I spent 11 years meeting with a lot of mom and pop business owners. There's so many lessons that I learned from those business owners that would, you know, own their business in three generations and their family and their successes. I always live by this one, that a lot of my mentors, especially in this environment, in the community of real estate investing, is make sure that you don't burn bridges. Mm. Because there are so many, especially in the real estate investing world, there are so many people that know each other, because this is a community, because there's not a lot of people, you know, that that you can go to in your family that are doing things like this. So you need people that you develop relationships with, at social media or masterminds, whatever. I try to never burn a bridge. Am I going to make everyone happy? No, I can't. I tried that in my 20s, right? Right. I can't do that.
That's a recipe for failure.
Absolutely it is. And I can't do it. And I tell my 8-year-old son, you can't say the word can't, but this is one of the exceptions. There's no way I'll ever make everyone happy, but try not to burn bridges. And it will take you a long way, and be genuine in whatever you do. If you're a people person, be genuine in that. If you're not, be genuine in the fact that you're an introvert.
Own it.
Yeah, exactly. Own it. Well done.
Own it. Yeah. And the last thing I'll add to that is always do what you say you're going to do, and do the right thing, even and especially when nobody's watching, or when you think nobody's watching. That's just character, right? So, Leon, my man, dude, this was fun. Appreciate you hopping on here. Where do people connect with you, find out more about what you got going on? best place to reach out?
Yeah. So the best place to reach out is, I'm the director of membership results for the Collective Genius. My email is leon@thecollectivegenius.com. I also am a real estate investor in the Midwest. But that's the best way. That's the best way to reach me. I appreciate this time. It's a long time coming, and I appreciate you having me, Alex.
Yeah, man. No. Pleasure, my friends. Just take one thing that you've heard. I always say, speed of implementation. Take one thing that you've learned here, or that you maybe that you haven't learned, but it's a reminder. Sometimes I think you have to hear things at a certain point in your life, or set a certain way for it to have an impact on you. So hopefully, some of that was shared here. And Kia has a forbid my children from saying can't, never nor hard. Yeah. And I'm the same way, by the way. Every time I hear my daughter outside the door here, every time she says can't, I say, we don't say can't in this household. How can we? And absolutely. So I'm always trying to embed and instill that in them. So man. Yeah, my man.
Appreciate it. Anytime, man. I'm here for you. You know that.
Thank you, my friend. Love you, we will talk soon. Take care, everyone.
You too, bro. See you, man.
This show is sponsored by Ascend, our in-house assembly of success-minded people, business owners, and entrepreneurs actively collaborating together to ascend our businesses to new heights while also experiencing truly happier, more fulfilling lives at the same time. We believe it's not an either-or, but you can truly have both and. It's the unique and rare combination of mastermind coaching and community that makes Ascend so special. But it's definitely not for everyone. If you're an entrepreneur who's looking for more than your typical mastermind or coaching, and you think these things can help you accelerate your ascension from where you are today to where you want to go while living a more meaningful and rewarding life in the process, then you can head over to ascendyoursuccess.com, click the application button, and we'll go from there.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.